on where I'm at.
Blog Talk
Radio. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. You know, very excited this week. UFC 235 is this weekend. You know, it's so much excitement, so much anticipation at this point. It's like, we just had an event, you know, this past weekend, and I was, you know, we're probably going to talk about that a little bit, but I'm sure we're going to end up dipping into UFC 235 because, man, the car's only 4 days away. I think that's, I mean, they're going to have to really do something crazy, you know, for the rest of 2019 if they want to have a car bigger than this one, because this car is just crazy stacked. And I don't even know how, you know, all the casual fans and people who don't even know about UFC, you know, they're probably excited for this card and they don't even really know what's going on. So they should be if they're not. So they should look into it. If you don't know about UFC, this weekend is the time to start knowing, because this is a card that gets people into the fight game. If you have someone don't watch UFC, they watch this card, I guarantee you they'll be a fan after this card. With that being said, Lee, what's going on, brother?
Oh, man, nothing, man. Just chilling, man. You know, hoping that everything comes together for this card this weekend. Really haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, whether or not I'm going to go somewhere and watch it or whether or not I'm going to stay home and watch it. The only reason I might stay home and watch it is because of the ESPN Plus thing with the prelims. So, you know, by the time I watch the prelims, get in my car and drive to a bar, I'm probably – miss the first fight or miss half of the first fight, which I don't want to do. And that's my beef with the ESPN Plus, is at least, you know, most places could carry the prelims and then switch over to the pay-per-view. But with ESPN Plus, that's kind of like a no-go right now at most bars and most places. So, you know, but I'm still watch it. I'm excited. I hope everybody make weight, you know, knocking on wood, that everything stay in place up to Saturday night.
You know, I hope everybody makes weight too. You know, we'll touch on that again, and I'm sure we plan to do another show later this week, probably on Friday. Or maybe Saturday during the day, or, you know, early on after everybody, you know, after the weigh-ins to see. So we'll touch back on that after. But you make a good point though about the ESPN Plus, because you know it's like trouble and you know just confusion with just where to watch fights. You know, with the ESPN Plus, because it's like, you know, one portion of the fights is on regular ESPN, so you can watch it at your house. Then you got to leave at the main event of the fight pass. Like if you're watching the fight pass on regular ESPN, okay, so the last fight of the fight pass, you basically have to miss the whole last fight because you're traveling to the next destination, which might be playing ESPN Plus. And if they're not playing it and it's the other way around, then you got to watch the fight pass. Say the fight pass is on ESPN Plus, then you got to watch. Like, if it's the other way around, basically, you either have to go to a place and miss a fight, whatever card it is, you have to travel, you have to go somewhere else, because one place, you know, most places will pay the pay-per-view, but they won't have ESPN Plus. So then when they do one card is on ESPN, you know, you might think that both are on ESPN Plus, so then you end up forgetting that, and you go somewhere to watch it, then you realize they're not playing the fight pass, so you go back home to watch the fight pass, then you have to go back to that spot again, you know, to watch the ESPN Plus or whatever, and then, you know, they might not play the paper. It's really a crazy thing, because I know I might have, like, got that messed up a little bit, because I'm pretty sure they don't play, like you said, most places aren't subscribing to ESPN Plus, so it would be the other way around. You'd really be watching whatever it is.
Or you'd
be going home.
Or you sitting at a bar. Or you sitting at a bar watching the prelims on your telephone.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just ridiculous. I've seen a good amount of people.
Yeah, that sounds crazy, man.
Yeah, no, that's really just a sin. I've seen a lot of people, actually, yeah, a good number of people on my timeline, you know, people that I follow just, like, complaining about having to like watch the fights on their phone and like saying that the fights won't load. Actually, one of my good friends has the same problem, and we have run into that problem watching. It was a couple events ago. We ended
the
that problem
one.
Because he couldn't. Yeah, the first one they did, he couldn't stream.
I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah, we were having a lot of problems with that, and because he was trying to watch it, and then we realized we couldn't get it on the TV. For some reason, ESPN Plus on, like, regular TV, like, couldn't get it on his TV. So he tried to stream it from his phone to the TV, and that didn't work. But then what I ended up just going back home and realizing that you could just download the ESPN Plus app on Xbox One. So I'm sure they got that on PlayStation 4, too. I don't have PlayStations. I'm an Xbox guy. So I know on Xbox One you have the ESPN Plus app. So I can just recommend that to anybody. I mean, there's still the struggle of having to go from A to B to watch, you know, the ESPN and then watch the pay-per-view. But one way is that if you do have Xbox One, you could download the ESPN app in the Xbox and then put in the ESPN Plus subscription. And you can click right in. They got the main car. They got the fight right there when you go into ESPN Plus. Like if there's an event, like I'm sure they'll do it for this card too. So you can and it's pretty good stream too. Like I you know, compared to DAZN, I feel like ESPN Plus. I don't know what's really the difference of it, but I feel like ESPN Plus stream is a lot better than the DAZN stream where they got Bellator, Jaguar DAZN, and a lot of the big boxing fighters are under there with the zone too. But you know, it's the zone is kind of suspect though, because every time you try to rewind something, it gets like all screwed up, and then like it'll like stop loading, you know what I mean, and it'll be buffering. You know, it's like YouTube back in the day, like before you had like 1080p videos, like you had to go on YouTube and you would try to rewind the video on YouTube and it'd be buffering for like a half an hour, and then you end up just not even watching the video. So that's basically what I noticed about the zone with the Bellator, the last Bellator. But then, what's it called? But ESPN Plus does better, though. You can go right back fine and rewind the fight, and it doesn't, you know, take forever to buffer. It'll go right back, and you can fast-forward it back into the fight and go right back to live in about half a second. So I can recommend, if you want to watch ESPN Plus and you have it, go on your Xbox One to watch it, because what I've seen so far is that's the best way, besides on someone that actually plays it. But no one has the subscription. And I mainly go to Hooters or Buffalo Wild Wings out here, and they're not picking up on PM Plus yet. I don't think they're really into that.
Sure.
They already got the pay-per-view deal, so they're not trying to pay for the pay-per-view deal and have paying for the ESPN Plus. You know, it's if I was a business, I probably wouldn't want to pay for two things either.
Yeah, The thing is, ESPN could do the fans a favor. Is on the nights of the pay-per-view, you can show the prelims on ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPN News, or ESPNU. There's so many ESPN channels that the prelims should be made available on one of the ESPN outlets. They have so many channels. I've just named four. They got ESPN Classic they could use. It's just so many channels that they could use to show the prelims prior to the main event, where you ain't trying to, you know, you got ESPN Plus on your phone or on your TV, and then, you know, if you don't want to get the pay-per-view, you driving somewhere during the main event of the prelims, and you probably got your phone playing, probably through your Bluetooth in your car. I mean, but if you could just have it on regular TV or one of the ESPN outlets, I'm at the bar already. I'm waiting on the bar to, you know, after the prelims gone, they can switch it over to the pay-per-view. It's just, I mean, that's something that shouldn't be that hard. I mean, but it's just one of the things we got to get used to with ESPN. But hopefully they'll work that out and they'll get better with that, because everybody doesn't have ESPN Plus. And everybody shouldn't have to use ESPN Plus, especially for pay-per-views, the night of pay-per-views, because normally the prelims is normally pretty stacked. I can see a fight night, you make everybody use ESPN Plus, you know, and sometimes you'll show the fight nights for free. I just think that's something they got to work out, man. They need to be more fan friendly with that.
Yeah, I like, you know, actually, I want to bring back what you said the last show. I think you said it the last show, is that they should make it so if you buy the pay-per-view, you could get the prelims included with the pay-per-view. I like that idea, honestly.
I like that idea, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why. I mean, because I feel like if they wanted to accommodate for whatever they get in from the subscription pass, you know, couldn't they just add on? Like, if you know, at the very worst, couldn't they just add on the subscription price, which I'm pretty sure is, what's ESPN, what is it, four? Is it $5 a month or $10 a month? I forget, but I feel like if they, yeah, $5. I feel like couldn't they just, because you already got people giving out that password and watching, you know, they make it like you have one user using ESPN Plus. You're going to have so many people viewing, you know, under one login with the ESPN Plus. So I don't really understand what they think they're getting out of that. I mean, maybe there's some kind of business aspect that I'm not really educated about. You know, maybe that's the case, but I don't see why at the very worst they could just add on the $5 onto the pay-per-view price. And then instead of having someone pay $60 or whatever it is, have them pay $65 or just add $5 onto the price. And then now you have the prelims included with the pay-per-view. I don't really get what's the difference, because instead of that, you're saying someone should have to watch the prelims on your service, which they pay $5 a month for. So I don't really get, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe that, I don't, does that not work?
I mean, I think the $5,
you know, because bro, I think a lot more people
$5
buy the
pay-per-view. Be an issue.
Yeah,
$5 would be an issue if you buy the pay-per-view. The paper, you should get the prelims for free if you get the pay-per-view. It's just that simple. I mean, let's say the ESPN Plus shouldn't even come into play if you buy the pay-per-view. If you don't buy the pay-per-view, then basically you should have to use ESPN Plus to watch the prelims. But it's just crazy, though, man. It's just, I mean, that's just something they need to work out. We're not going to spend the whole show talking about that. But that's just something they need to work out. You know, just need to become more fan-friendly. And I think they need to look at the Fox model. The Fox model worked because, man, all right, let's just say for Fox. Fox, you got UFC Tonight. We got that, which was a dope show to me. Then you always had the weigh-in show, you know, on the weigh-in, there the weigh-ins. And then you had your pre-fight show, and then you had the prelims, and then you had your fight card. And then after the fight, you had the post-fight show. I don't know what not ESPN does. I know Ariel Helwani has his own show. I know they have a show. I don't know or not they have a show with Dominique Cruz and Gilbert Melendez. I heard they was having a show, but I don't know whether or not I've seen that one. It's just so much stuff that Fox gave us that ESPN isn't, or ESPN isn't as of today. So hopefully they come around and, you know, catch up with the times, you know, and, you know, start making UFC, you know, like they do NFL and NBA. You know, they really hype NFL and NBA. So, and UFC is one of the fastest growing sports in America. So, let's make it happen. ESPN, come on, y'all can do better.
Well, you know, it's actually funny you said that, because I remember the show that you first asked for that, those two to get together, Gilbert Melendez and Dominic Cruz. You were like, I don't see why they don't come out with a talk show and have Gilbert Melendez and Dominic Cruz in there and let those two guys analyze fights. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they come out saying that them two are getting together for a show. Man, I swear they listen to us, because every time we be saying something, and then right after that, you know, the thing comes out and it's official. So I don't know. It's been – that happens. It seems like that happens, like, almost once every month or once every 2 months. We say something, and then it becomes a thing, you know, like, shortly after we say it. So I don't know if we're predicting things or if we're coming up with the original ideas for things, but somebody, I think, got to pay us pretty soon. You said that,
man.
And now they're running with it.
Yeah, because my idea was, you know, being that we don't have UFC Tonight anymore, you know, why don't they have a show similar to UFC Tonight, but you have Gilbert and Dominique Cruz do it, and lo and behold, something came across Twitter or ESPN saying that Gilbert Melendez and Dominique Cruz would be hosting a show, and then I was like, wow, these cats, man, they really be stealing our ideas.
That's what I'm saying. And the crazy thing, too, is what was the other thing that I – you know what show that I – actually, not even crazy, but you know what I was watching that I do like, though, that they've been doing? I don't know if this has to do with ESPN because they've been doing this even when we had Fox. But I like watching the UFC episodes with when they have Dan Hardy and the other guy on that. You know that one where they break down, like, the big main event fights and everything? I really like Dan Hardy, man. I think he's one of the best dudes to, you know, really play back the fights. And they got that little, like, whiteboard thing where he can, like, mark the screen and show you, like, the movement and what's going on in certain moments. They'd be playing back clips of the fights going forth and backwards. Dan Hardy's really good. I watch almost every one of those things. I've watched almost every one of those for a while. You know, I think every main event in the past, like, you know, 10 cards, I've watched Dan Hardy break down the main event for because that thing is just, damn, it's so good. Like, that guy really, he says some stuff, and it's like, if you didn't ever watch a fight in your life, this guy could teach you everything you need to know to be able to come back and sound like you've watched like a whole handful of fights, you know, because he's just so knowledgeable about everything. You know, I never realized that he was knew that much about the game. I mean, you never hear guys really sound like that when they analyze fights. I mean, like, even like Chael Sonnen, I like listening to him, but you know, he kind of gets technical, but not, I wouldn't say to the depth that Dan Hardy gets technical on it, though. Have you heard Dan Hardy and the other guy, the fight breakdowns they do on YouTube?
Nah, man, but one of my coworkers was telling me to check out an episode where he was breaking out Anthony Smith. He said,
yeah,
about
you
got to
see that.
Minutes.
He's good.
He told me it was about 20, 25 minutes long. But he said it's really, really good. So I'll probably watch it tomorrow, you know, on my phone while I'm working. And because I like the technical breakdown because to me, it gives me a little bit more insight of what to be looking for in a fight. Or you see why somebody did this move or why they did that, you know, why they faint this way, you know, stuff like that. So I like to be basically a pundit, I would say, you know, even though I'm not, I would like to be in the know. So I do like stuff like that. That's why I like when former fighters call fights because, you know, they know, you know, what somebody should do to get off their back or what they should do to, you know, to put in a submission or a choke and stuff like that. So I like when they have fighters call fights. I mean, one of my favorites was Michael Stan. Michael Stan was really, really good at breaking down the technical parts of fights during the fight. DC is good at it. Dominique Cruz is good at it.
You must have liked when they just put Bisping on the commentary, one of the last ESPN events, they just put Bisping on.
Bisping was very good. I was actually shocked because I think that was his first time doing color commentary play-by-play. I want to say that was his first time, and he was really, really good. But I like one thing I definitely like is when they call the fight and they're unbiased. You know, they just looking at the fight, breaking the fight down, even though, let's just say, you know, Dominique Cruz is calling the Cody Garbrandt fight, and we know that him and Cody got, like, bad blood or whatever, but he remains objective and calls it the way it's supposed to be done. Unlike when DC called the John Jones over at St. Prue fight, and he was just, like, shading John the whole time, and it made, like, it was actually bad TV for me, but at the same time, you know, I think now with ESPN, these guys are going to be more objective and leave their personal feelings aside because I think ESPN is one of these networks where they don't want your personal opinion. They want your professional opinion. So I think ESPN to clean up a lot of those personal biases.
Yeah, I think so too. Did you see the – speaking of which too, we didn't – I'm surprised we didn't even – you watch the main event this past weekend, the Thiago Santos and Jan? Blachowicz. Jan. Yeah, Jan. I don't know. They were pronouncing his name on that during the event, and I didn't know that his name was even pronounced that way. So, you know, I was pronouncing his first name with a J this entire time, and really it more sounds like Jan. Yeah, I didn't know that the J was actually technically silent. So, and then they pronounced his last name, too, and I never knew how to – I was saying Blachowicz, but that's not how you say it either. So, I don't want to say his name and get it and completely butcher his name. So, but, yeah, you had the Thiago Santos and Jan. I think he was, like, number four. So you had, like – I don't know where Santos is at in the rankings, but that was a pretty good one. Maybe they were, like, 4-6 or something like that. But that was a good light heavyweight main event. I like that fight. It was good. You know, I figured Santos – you know, what I think was funny about it was that I think it actually kind of backfired on Jan because I think what Jan was expecting was that Santos – when he come or Santos, when he come out in his fights, he's usually a lot more explosive than that. And you see him looking for the finish in either round one or round two. And he really didn't do that in this fight. He was, he was a lot more composed with his game. He was, you know, throwing a lot of leg kicks. You know, there was points in the fight where it seemed like they were just going kick for kick with each other. You've seen Santos kind of waiting for the right opportunity, you know, waiting for the right shot. And I think both of them played it a little careful in the beginning. You know, I think Jan is probably the more laid-back striker than Santos on a regular basis anyways, so you could have expected that. But if you watch any Santos fight, you usually see him come out the gate swinging. You know, he's usually a really explosive guy, and I just think he caught Jan by surprise coming with that game plan and kind of mimicking what Jan was doing. It almost seemed like they were kind of moving the same way. It was really, I mean, I'm not like any expert on the movement or anything like that, but it seemed like they were kind of playing the same game. And Santos definitely switched up his approach to how his usual fights are. And I think Jan in the third round just got impatient. And that's when you've seen him rush in and he got caught with a shot and that was the end of the fight. So I think that's what it was. I think, you know, he might have been a little afraid of going to the scorecards, even though it was two more rounds. They would have had a 5-round main event, but I think he might have been a little worried that it would have been too close to call or whatever else might have been the case. And he just, you know, went in kind of rushing, you know, Thiago and he got caught with a shot. You know, I think that was probably a bad move. I don't know why I would hope that his corner didn't tell him to rush in like that, but I don't know. Maybe that was his instinct.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I thought Jan, and I'm going to just say Blachowicz, excuse me, I'm saying his name wrong, but that's the way it looks when you're looking at it on paper. So I'm going with Blachowicz. I thought he got away from his game plan a little bit. I thought the first two rounds, they both were still in the filling out phase. And then I thought, he was trying to press forward, trying to push the action. And then when he made that mistake of lunging with his hands down, with his defensive hand down, that's when he got caught. And I know that if he replay it back in his head, he'll probably be like, man, I just should have remained patient. Because I'm probably sure that probably in the fourth or fifth round, probably both of those guys probably would have been like, okay, I gotta start, you know, doing something to win this fight instead of just sitting back and, you know, leg kick here, you know. you know, because that's what they were really doing. It was like a leg kick here, you know, a punch thrown here, jab there, you know, leg kick again, you know. So they really weren't, like, going balls to the wall. So, Jan, he just became impatient and – in the UFC, one mistake could cost you a fight, man, and it cost him a fight. You know, I bet his coaches when they break down the tape and they see the way he got knocked out, the way he got clipped, it was because he was lunging with the jab and he had his defensive hand down and he got caught twice. And then the ref, I mean, I understand, you know, letting the guy in his home country, trying to let him get back up or whatever, but I think he took a lot of shots unnecessarily. He took a lot of shots unnecessarily. Even though they were hitting his glove, you know, they still hurt. So I just think the refs could have did a better job of stopping the fight, but I understand it. So, but, you know.
You think that you're talking
again,
about in terms of the. Yeah, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
You talking about
no,
in terms
talking about
of the stoppage?
Yeah.
I thought he probably took a few more shots than were necessary there. He was out, I thought.
Even if he wasn't out, he wasn't defending himself. I mean, he had his hands up over his head, but I think, you know, you could see he wasn't going to get up and do anything. So the ref could have probably jumped in probably about five or seven shots earlier than he did. But, you know, the 205 division, I mean, it's still probably one of the more – I would say lackluster divisions because you really don't know most of the fighters. But, you know, it's new blood in the 205. I mean, you got Santos, you got Dominique Reyes, you got Johnny Walker, you got the guy he's fighting this weekend, Misha. You have you still got Błachowicz who lost. You still got some guys down there that are coming up. You know, in the young division, I know a lot of people want to see John Jones probably move up to heavyweight, you know. But the thing is he fights at 205. 205 is his division. And me as a fan, how many times, if he could do it, will we see a guy clean out the division twice with different fighters, a different set of fighters? That'll probably be the first time in UFC history.
Yeah, because, you know, I actually I found myself, like, having to defend him so many times with this topic. So many people come to me and say that John Jones needs to move up to heavyweight. And I'm like, why does he need to move up to heavyweight? This guy the other day was telling me that hold on. I respect everybody's opinion. I don't mean to tell it like people are wrong. I'm just saying that I don't understand how you could say that he has to move up to heavyweight. Why? To do what, though? Is that supposed to help cement his legacy, you know, as being one of the greatest? He has to beat guys at heavyweight. He already beat tons of guys. This is the same scenario as Demetrius Johnson, and it's crazy. It's like deja vu. And I actually kind of feel guilty because I was on the other side at the time, you know, kind of hating a little bit and saying, oh, wow, I want to see, you know, he has to go over and fight Dillashaw at he has to move up and fight 135, fight TJ Dillashaw. I was saying that. But then, you know, once we get on the opposing end and I see the same situation with John Jones, I'm thinking, man, what was I thinking saying that Demetrius Johnson needed to go up and beat TJ Dillashaw or fight Dillashaw, you know, 135 to, you know, prove his legacy. If he's already beaten everybody in his division and some of them guys he's beaten twice, then why does he really need to move up? I mean, why can't he just stay and fight in his division? Just because, I mean, it's not his fault that he's a step ahead of the curve in his division. I mean, he's just that good. It really doesn't. I mean, that's like, you know, LeBron doesn't need to go play ball in another league because, you know, his stats are better than everybody else's for the past decade. I mean, he's just going to keep balling. It doesn't matter. You know, maybe that comparison's a little weird right now because he's not necessarily on the best team, but him as an individual player still has been putting up, you know, far superior stats than 90% of the league since the first day he was playing basketball. So you could say the same about, you know, is LeBron too good for the NBA? I mean, I guess that's a little bit different, but, you know, it just don't make any sense. If a guy dominates somewhere, that's just, you don't have to say that the competition isn't good enough. You could just credit the guy and say, oh, maybe he's just that great of a talent. Maybe we should just appreciate it and stop trying to, you know, make a fight with him where we think he'll lose, you know, because I think a lot of it is just people want to put somebody in a position where they feel like they're more vulnerable to lose and more, you know, they're more available, you know, to to fight a guy they might lose to. And I just feel like that's kind of a lame way to think about it. Just appreciate greatness when it's in its moment and stop, because then once it's over, you're not going to see it for a while. These type of talents will come around every day.
And that's why I said when the Dillashaw, when the TJ-DJ fight was brought up, my premise was they should fight at 130. I said, you know, you fight at 130, you know, especially if it's a fight, you know, for competition. Like, you know, like Anthony Pettis, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson fight. They fighting each other for the spirit of competition. So, you know, Pettis went up, of course. But my whole thing with the DJ-TJ thing was, why should DJ have to go up? He dominated his division. If anything, they should fight at 130, you know, see who the baddest Jay is between TJ and DJ. And that just should have been out of the spirit of competition. You didn't have to have a belt online on at stake, you know what I'm saying? And the way TJ looked against Cejudo, I think DJ might not have knocked him out, but he probably would have submitted him and definitely took him down a couple of times, because DJ is faster than Cejudo. So, you know, but at the same time as TJ, he was being, in my opinion, a little bit overconfident and cocky, and especially with him being the bigger guy having to lose the most weight. To me, that was just dumb. I would have made it a catchweight fight instead of trying to win two belts, especially for a flyweight division that probably ain't gonna be around at by the year's end. So I just thought that was dumb. I just thought, you know, that they could just did it at 130, you know, and let's see who was the better man.
Go ahead.
And you know, and it's just that, like I tweeted the other day, this thing with the super fights is for the casual fan. As real fans, let's get back to the rankings, man. Let's get back to guys earning their due, fighting their way up to championship contention instead of trying to talk their way up into championship contention. And then guys win belts and they want to, you know, pick the guy they want to fight or try to make a super fight or something like that instead of just fighting the next guy up. And I think that's the problem with the, what's that, the lightweight division right now? Is that Khabib and them, the lightweight division?
Yeah, that's lightweight.
Yeah, man, it's just the lightweight division is in chaos right now when it doesn't have to be. And I feel the same way about the middleweight division. They really don't need to do a interim fight for the middleweight belt with Israel and Kevin. You could just make that a title eliminator. And I just read today where Whitaker said he should be back in early August. So you had them two guys fight, maybe April, May, turn around and fight him in August. I mean, you really don't have to have an interim championship. And then this interim belt for the lightweight thing, I know that me and you are big fans of Max Holloway, but I don't see why they would put him in that fight. But I know why they did it, because Tony turned it down. But at the same time, it's like, okay, there are other top five lightweights in that division that you can make the fight for. So they're bringing Max up. It's kind of like a smack in the face to Frankie Edgar to me. And now it's like, what does Frankie do now? Does he sit and wait on Max to come back? So what does he do? So it's just two divisions that's being affected right now without it even need to be affected. They just could have did something else and still keep us fans intrigued with the divisions. It is what it is. We just got to live with it.
Yeah, it's you know, you bring up the Holloway and Dustin Poirier fight. You know, I had actually sent him I sent you a picture about it, and well, something I thought, you know, would I think the fight that I sent you originally, that was offered, but I think since Tony turned it down, which is understandable why he turned it down. Now they have the Poirier and Holloway fight. It's it confuses the whole situation because, I mean, first of all, like, Poirier should definitely be in the fight. I agree with that half of it. Putting Poirier in some kind of title fight, I like it. You know, I'm not really too intrigued by any interim titles at this stage of the game because, you know, the interim title kind of just became meaningless in the past, like, year to year and a half. You know, there's just been way too many interim title fights, and I really just it's really not that interesting to me anymore. But, you know, I do respect the fact that the UFC is finally honoring Dustin Poirier and giving him some type of credit, you know, for the fights that he constantly puts on because, you know, he's always a fight of the night bonus type of fighter. You know, he gives those quality of fights and he goes in there, puts in 100%, and he's got so much heart, you know what I'm saying? So in the respect of Poirier, I like it, you know. But then with the part about Holloway, and Holloway, you know, we just did our top 10 pound for pounds, you know, like you mentioned, we did our pound for pound list either last week or the week before, and y'all know I had Holloway in, I think he was either my number two or my number one in the UFC pound for pound overall. So, I mean, of course, I like, you know, the fact that he's fighting, but I'm really not too crazy about the fact that he's moving up to 155 to fight. You know, I also was big on him just staying at featherweight and just fighting guys. Like, I don't understand why you need to put him in that position. I mean, I do think in the first place, you know, the UFC did try to do what they wanted to do and give, you know, it to be Poirier and Ferguson, which I liked because that was actually, you know, pretty much 100% honoring what the fans wanted besides the interim title. I mean, I think a lot of the fans wanted, you know, I think a lot of the fans wanted, honestly, Khabib to be stripped and have those two guys fight for the real belt and then have Khabib fight the winner, you know, when he comes back, similar to what they did with McGregor. But, you know, instead they do interim fight and Tony turns it down. But, like, you can't really blame Tony for turning it down either because, you know, we can't forget Tony just fought for an interim title not that long ago. You know, he just fought Kevin Lee for an interim title. He won the belt, and he should have been the next shot after that. But then, you know, he was going to fight Khabib, and he, you know, I forget what happened, but then he ended up falling off. You know, the fight didn't happen. Khabib ended up fighting I can't, but, you know, at the same time, you know, there's a lot of politics. There's a lot of, like, I wouldn't even say politics. There's just a lot of variables that go with it. You know what I'm saying? I think the UFC might be okay with Ferguson being the champion. I don't think they don't want him to be the champion. I wouldn't say that. It's just that because he's had so many chances, you know, they've tried to get him in there. It could be like four or five times at this point. And it just, you know, for some one reason or the other, it just doesn't happen every single time. And, you know, if it was up to them, he would have fought Khabib at the last time when Khabib ended up fighting Nate Quinta. You know, they just were sick of there being, you know, no lightweight champion. I think they just, you know, him falling out kind of forced their hand to find somebody, you know, and McGregor not being around kind of forced them to have to find somebody they wanted to crown a champion for that division. But, you know, that really didn't, you know, progress things too much either because now, you know, the whole, man, it's just, that situation is just too much. You know,
Steve, I think you being nice. So you being nice. Okay, I guess I'll be the bad guy right now. Normally you be the bad guy, and I be the good cop. You normally be the bad cop, I be the good cop. But I'm going to be the bad cop right here. Tony Ferguson got screwed. I mean, in so many words, Tony Ferguson got screwed. Okay, he had won the interim belt in a tough fight against Kevin Lee, and then he was signed up to fight Khabib, and his knee got messed up doing promotional work for the UFC. It wasn't like it was a training accident or, you know, a slip and fall at his house or something. He got hurt doing promotional media stuff for the UFC. So he had to be pulled out the fight. So then they booked the fight for Khabib versus Iaquinta, who was number 12 at the time, who shouldn't even have been in a title fight, as we both agreed on when the fight was made. But he did put on a good he did have a good performance. I mean, you know, I think he probably did have a 10-8 round that he lost. But towards the fourth and fifth rounds, the later third rounds, you know, he started showing up with his striking, and he put you know, Khabib tried to stand with him for a little while, and then he couldn't take them shots. He took them down. But the thing is Tony got screwed over. The UFC shouldn't have never booked McGregor versus Khabib. They should have booked Khabib versus Ferguson for the belt because you made the guy fight for the interim belt. He won the belt. Then you going to turn around and offer him another interim championship fight, another one? So you will make this guy fight for the interim belt twice. I would have turned it down too, man. And to be honest, I just the blatant disrespect the UFC have for Ferguson is, man, is unwarranted, and it kind of pisses me off because the guy is, what, on 11 fight win streak or something like that. I know it's like double digits, I think. And
yeah, he's up.
You just got to make that fight, man. The UFC just got to make that fight, and it shouldn't be that hard. Forget Khabib. Khabib is a champion, but stop letting guys pick and choose who they want to fight and when they want to fight. Let's go back to the old days where the champion fought the number one guy, and we kept it moving. All this picking and choosing who you want to fight and when you want to fight and all this is a turnoff. It's a turnoff for the real fan.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's okay. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's, you know, Khabib should have, you know, Khabib should just, you know, he's very, you know, I think a big problem with it too is that, you know, Khabib not wanting to fight, you know, just at another angle, Khabib not wanting to fight this summer screws up a lot because he could be back, you know, I forget, maybe April or May, you know, with the 6 months. Yeah, so he could be back, and he would be, I think he would be in that fight. But since he's not going to fight until his teammates come back, then that prolongs it. So, yeah, and at the same time, he's also trying to, I believe he's trying to get a fight with GSP at the same time. So I think if we're going to say that, we have to look at that as well because, you know, champions, they keep getting the belt and go after these super fights. You know what I'm saying? And GSP isn't even in that division. So I don't even know why that's coming into play. You know, like it's, you're going to wait to come back to then want to fight a guy who isn't even in your division, you know, at Madison Square Garden. People are waiting to see you come back. We've been wanting to see you fight Ferguson for like 5 years. So I don't even know why that's a thing. But it's just all this extra stuff that comes in for all the fans that just want to see Brock Lesnar fight. That's really what it is. You want me to be the bad cop? That's really what it is. All these fans who only come around and ask, like, you know, who's McGregor fighting? You know, they're going to get Brock Lesnar in there and, you know, all the theatrics and everything. It's just for those fans, all the ooh-ahs and all the, you know, firework-watching fans. That's what it is. I mean, people who, you know, want to just talk about the, you know, the 229 brawl and all this extraness, you know, I don't want to talk about that, man. Come on. Anyways, yo, did you see the John Dodson and Piotr Jan fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been meaning to ask you about that, and because I missed it, and I was actually really excited. I was more interested to see that one than I was interested to see my boy Thiago and Jan. Piotr Jan. Jan. Yeah, Piotr Jan and John Dodson. I missed it. I meant to see it, but I missed it.
I thought Petra, he did. He did enough to win the fight. But as far as it being like an action-packed fight, it wasn't. I think Dodson, he had a couple times where he could take my man down, and he would just let him get back up. And I just think that Dodson didn't use his speed enough as far as his punching. But But my man, what's his name? Peter? Petra or something like that? You know, he actually looked pretty good. I mean, you know, he did what he had to do. He took over the third round for sure, and probably the last minute or two of the second round. So I thought my man Dobson, I thought he should at least won one round. I think I had him winning one round. I don't know if that was the second or the first, but I had him winning one round. I didn't have him being shut out 30-27 the way the judges did. But Dobson, man, it might be time for him to change camps too. Cause you know he's been with Winklejohn since he's been in the game, and of course they're probably one of the best fight camps in the business. But it might be time for him to try something new, man. Go somewhere else, you know, to maybe revitalize his career. Cause you know I think he's one of those guys that's win one, lose one, or win one, lose two, stuff like that. And I don't really see him being in championship contention in the 135. Maybe now probably might be a chance for him to go back down to 125 with DJ being gone and see whether or not he can do some damage down there. But my man, Peter, man, or Petra, he actually looked pretty good, man. He did what he had to do to win the fight. And I want to see him against, let me see. I probably have to look at the rankings and see who I want him to fight next. Maybe the loser of the winner of the Cody Pedro fight is probably slated to fight Aljamain Sterling. So
yeah, you got to give Sterling a shot now because he just had a big win over Rivera. So he's like a top five guy.
Yeah.
You got to give him. You got to at least give him. You know what I'm saying? You got to at least give him that, or maybe you know if they don't do the rematch, maybe he can fight Moraes again. Is that you know they're gonna do the rematch with TJ and Cejudo most likely. So Moraes is probably gonna be waiting for that. But if not, have him fight Sterling again. Who cares?
I think Moraes is just gonna sit it out until he gets his title shot. I don't expect him in the octagon because I read somewhere where he said either get him a title shot or redo his contract. So I think he's probably going to sit it out and wait to fight for the belt. So I think whoever wins, let's say if TJ wins, Cejudo is not getting a rubber match. You know, it probably is. They probably get Moraes his shot first and probably have Cejudo fight a top five guy. So that's the way I see that playing out. But if Cejudo wins, I see Moraes getting a shot at Cejudo. So, but I was proud of the way Aljamain fought. He definitely had a technical fight. Actually, he looked like he kind of fought like Donald Jones a little bit. You know, he stayed within jab distance and kick distance. And what Jimmy Rivera had to reach disadvantage on the way he could come in was by taking chances. And every time he would come in, Aljamain was sticking with that jab or kick him, so he would just automatically retreat. So it was definitely a good fight by Aljamain Sterling. He fought a technical fight. I know it was a lot of booing during the fight, but sometimes fight fans don't understand what a guy needs to do to win a fight. And, you know, they might look at him as being boring, but he just did what he had to do to win.
Well, people also just don't realize that you can't just go in. Like, a lot of fans that don't really watch, you know, as many fights, you know, they're the, which is a lot, you know, I feel like a lot of people, they want to see, you know, certain things, and you just don't always understand, you know, the styles and the way guys tend to fight and the way they usually win fights. And no, there's a reason for a lot of things, and there's even moments when I don't understand. Like, there's a lot of stuff I'm still learning. Like, you know, I get bored. You know, me personally, I get bored with like a lot of the grappling stuff, and you know, the different, you know, all the, you know, side controls, and you know, the, you know, certain mount situations. You know, where it's just you know, a lot of the wrestling. I get bored with that, but you know, it's just a lot of it is stuff that I just don't know enough about, and you know, at the same time, is like, you know, I just get bored when guys like have the opportunity to advance their position and they just don't. That's the stuff that really bothers me, is like, how come you're not advancing your position? But you know, I'm sure there's a reason, you know, behind that, and you know, something in their game plan where they have to do whatever they're doing. But you know, a lot of fans just got to realize too, is when you're striking, like, there's a lot more behind it than just like throwing your hardest punch at a guy. Like, you can't just, like, when these guys throw strikes, like, for example, when you've seen, you know, if anybody watched the, you know, Thiago Santos and Blagojevic fight, you know, this past weekend, look at the shots that Thiago was throwing at certain moments, and they weren't even landing. Like, look at the power that he was putting into those shots. If you look at the shots, I think Thiago's most powerful shots were the ones that missed. Like, I don't even know, like, I didn't really get, like, a close slow-mo on the shot that dropped Blagojevic to finish the fight. But I don't think that was even his hardest stuff. Like, I think his hardest hits were ones that he missed. And one thing that people just don't realize, you know, a lot of us don't realize because we've never, you know, a lot of people either they haven't fought a day in their life, and you're not a fighter also, you know, and you're not training, you know, like these guys are. It takes a lot of energy out of you to miss punches. You can't just, you know, you get tired. We just think, you know, this is NBA 2K. We just think this is NBA 2K with the fatigues off. And that ain't what this is. You know, you can't just keep going forever. You know, the human body gets tired. You can't, and there's a lot to know about it. You know, your body gets drained. You can't just keep throwing heavy shots. You know what I mean? That's what happened. That was the difference between, you know, you see that with McGregor and Mayweather. Like, you know, a boxer is used to being able to, but at the same time, a boxer is also training for 36 minutes, you know, in this day and age. And they have that. They're cardio machines. That's one thing that these MMA guys don't have. They're not cardio machines. You know, they're doing mostly fights that are 3 minutes. I mean, three rounds, 5 minutes, you know, and that's really not the same thing. You know, you're fighting about half the time that the average boxer is fighting today. You know, so you can't – that's why MMA guys – it's kind of a joke to have MMA guys go over and fight boxers because they would never last. You know, these guys are training a lot harder, I hate to say it, but the MMA fighters are not – you know, they're athletic and they're fit, but they're just – there's levels, you know, to it. And guys, you know, a lot of us don't understand that. You know, there's certain strategy you have to use, you know, to accommodate the human body. You can't just go out there – and exhaust yourself in the first 2 minutes of a round. Guys just want to see guys coming out being explosive. Like, you have to do things a certain way. Like, you know, look at Derek Lewis. Like, Derek Lewis go out there and you know, Derek Lewis, you know, in 2019, speaking of, I want to see him, you know, get you know, more fit, probably, you know, lose a couple pounds and be able to move around a little bit more, because you know how much better of an athlete he would be, you know, if he took the game more seriously. You know what I'm saying? Not trying to disrespect Derek Lewis. That's my guy. But I'm just saying, like, a lot of these guys could be better. And even the guys that are better could even be better than that. And that's the thing. I just think a lot of these guys, you know, they're just trying to always be better than their last fight. And as fans, we don't fully understand that.
Yeah, I think another thing that the UFC could do, I mean, it actually, when you were just talking, is that they fight five-minute rounds, right? In between rounds, what is it, 2 minutes? What would it hurt to push the time between rounds up to 3 minutes? Do you think that'll be bad for a fight, or you think that'll be good? I think it'll be good. I think it'll get guys time up to catch their breath, probably get a little bit more coaching in between rounds. And then for guys that probably got hurt at the end of the round, it'll probably get them a little bit more time to recover. I mean, that might be a negative to it, but at the same time, it could be a positive to it. I just think that, you know, five-minute rounds, and then you get a two-minute break between rounds. I think 3 minutes would be better. It'll probably be it's for us, the fan, you know, we'd rather see them get back in there or whatever. But I think for the fighters, I think 3 minutes between rounds would probably be better. And I think that's, I mean, you know, another one of my ideas I think they should look at.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's fair, because there's so much pressure put on fighters to get back out there, and it's like a lot of guys I don't think are ready, you know, and they don't have the time, you know, to go through the preparation, you know, to get their body ready to, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these guys are so winded after a round, you know. You see them putting, like, I don't know exactly, you know, what it's for, but I always see them putting, like, the bag of ice on their chest. I don't know, like, if that's to slow down their breathing or something like this. Like, I always wonder why they do that. But there's, like, just these little, like, techniques I see their corner doing when they're over there. And I just feel like guys might just be rushed back in for the next round. They're not – their body's not ready. So, I like that idea. Another thing that I think that I was watching Chael Sonnen recently, and he brings this up a good amount, is possibly stopping the championship rounds. You know, why, you know, maybe a title fight, you know, I could see five rounds, but, you know, these five rounds, like every main event needing to be five rounds, I don't know, because a lot of these guys, like, look at the difference in some of these guys. For example, if you look at Jose Aldo, this guy, okay, he lost three fights in a row. So Aldo was beating everybody for the longest time. When he was fighting for three, when he fought a three-round fight, Aldo was, you know, one of the best fighters in the world. You know, that's what we're getting back to realizing at this point. Okay, Aldo lose three fights straight because he doesn't have the cardio to ever beat Max Holloway. That's what I believe. Holloway is a machine. That guy just keeps going. He can absorb tons of shots, keeps coming forward. He doesn't get tired. Okay, this Holloway, that's why he's, I think, the pound-for-pound best, because that dude is just – he's a machine, okay? Holloway's a machine. That's why, you know, Aldo can't beat Holloway, you know, in the cardio department. He can't – he's outmatched. So Aldo is the best guy. You know, he could be the best three-round fighter, you know, out of anybody. You see him beating all these guys in three-round fights now. He lost two five-round fights. You know, he get worn out, you know, outmatched by Holloway in the cardio department. Now he's coming back and winning all his three-round fights. He's been destroying people in his three-round fights. I don't even know why I'm even undermining this right now. I'm kind of understating what Aldo's been doing. Aldo's been destroying people lately. If you think about his last couple of fights, he's pretty much beaten, like, contender after contender, like, back-to-back-to-back. I think it was – I want to say it's his last two fights he's won against, like, two like, I would say, big contenders. I mean – Josh Emmett, you thought was, you know, we all thought was going to be the next big thing. Then he, you know, when he knocked out Ricardo Lamas. Yeah, you didn't. You didn't. But a lot of us did. And Josh Emmett, you know, he get knocked out by Jeremy Stephens. Then, you know, we think Jeremy Stephens is coming back on into the winning side of things. You know, he's getting back up there being a top contender. Aldo KOs Stephens with a body shot. And that was the first instance of it. Then you just seen Aldo come back again. They matched him up with Moicano. Everybody was counting up Aldo again. And I actually picked Aldo. It wasn't DraftKings. It was I just made like a prop bet. I put a prop bet on Aldo that night. He won me a couple bucks because I just had a feeling. I was like, Aldo, he's fighting in Brazil against another Brazilian, but he's going to destroy this kid. Like, Aldo – people be hating on Aldo, man. Aldo still got it. He's just fine, all right? Y'all got to stop giving Aldo a hard time. Three-round goat.
Well, you know, I think for the sheer fact of entertainment, the five rounds isn't bad, because I think you have to add something extra for a championship fight. Now, if you're just saying it's two guys fighting in a main event and there isn't a belt on the line, I could see that fight being three rounds instead of five. I would buy that. But I think, you know, when it comes to the main event, you know, people want something different, you know, and that's what the UFC came up with the five rounds. And definitely with the five-round fights, I definitely think you should have 3 minutes in between rounds. I definitely think you should have that. So, you know, I mean, you can look at a lot of guys that have cardio problems. You look at Derek Lewis. Normally he's gassed after, what, the first round or mid-second round, he's gassed. If you look at Conor McGregor in championship fights, normally about the third round, he's gassing out. If you look at guys with great cardio, if you say Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway, Tony Ferguson, you know, you got guys that have great great cardio. And sometimes I think fighters just need to learn their pace. Learn your pace of how you want to fight, and it probably wouldn't gas out, you know. You just got to learn your pace. And some guys try to keep pace with guys with outstanding cardio. That's the key to disaster right off the top. Because a guy that you know, like Bobby Whittaker is a workout king. And, you know, I think he ran a marathon or something on the Ultimate Fighter, and he didn't even look tired. So,
yeah, he's
you know, I do think the five round is good for championship main events. Maybe for Don championship main events, you can make it a 3-round fight. And to supplement that time, what you could do is you could add another fight to the main card. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
it's we could go on about this for days. I remember I even said before about potentially having the five rounders, but just take a minute off each round. So you technically have 5 4-minute rounds instead of 5 5-minute rounds. So you still have a 20-minute fight. It's still longer. You still have 2 extra rounds, but you're actually just shaving 5 minutes off the total fight. You know, you're only really fighting, and you're fighting 5 rounds, but it's really the amount of what they would get in 1 extra round right now. You technically have 5 minutes worth. No, and it would be distributed 1 minute for each round. But yeah, it's, you know, we could go on about this for days. I want to, we're a little bit over time right now. We're going to hop off here and, you know, we'll be back again later this week to break down this UFC 235 event. I'm thinking, what do you want to do, Thursday afternoon? I mean, on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, we said we'll do Saturday noon Eastern time.
Yeah, so let's do Saturday at noon Eastern time. And then, yeah, so we'll go on after the weigh-ins. We'll be on about noon Eastern time on Saturday afternoon, and we'll give our predictions, and we'll break down everything UFC 235. Also, go check out the Scrap News. I have an article up on the Scrap News right now, my first article. I just dropped it. It just came out. Well, no, they just published it yesterday. So go to the Scrap News on Twitter and click that webpage and go visit my article. Show your boys some love. And on that note, that's really all I got. Everybody stay positive. Lee, go ahead and close them out.
Hey, in closing, like always, everybody stay positive. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. I didn't do a dedication tonight. I don't even know who to dedicate this show to. You know why I dedicate the show to all the Oscar winners, you know, that won, you know, won awards Sunday night. Also, one of my homeboys, and he's really not my homeboy, but me and him grew up in the same area, and I know him through Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. His goes by Top Rope Zeus. He comes from, you know, a tough uprising, and he starred in a movie that won a Oscar Sunday. So, shouts out to Top Rope Zeus. Hey, and in closing, like always, me and my man Keith, like we said, we'll see y'all Saturday, 12 noon, and keep that peace.